Gracious man of God. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 19. This should be familiar to most of you this morning. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You can be seated. This morning, if the Holy Ghost would help us for a little bit, I'm going to preach on a couple of things that are not very popular today. I'm going to preach on death and hell. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. You're going to die. The Bible says, man, you cannot stay here. You must go. Cannot live on here. You must die. There's only two places to go. There's no in-between place. I'm amazed now in this time that we live in that folks hardly ever think about dying anymore. They don't think about hell anymore. But when I was a youngster growing up in the old church that I went to with my grandpa, the preachers preached regularly on hell. Don't go to hell. It's an awful place. It's an awful place. It's a real place. This is not a parable. It's a real place, and there's real people there. And they're there today, and they're going by the thousands every day and dropping into hell. I remember growing up, I was about 12 years old, and my first cousin got killed in a car wreck. 1960. And I guess that's the first time I ever really thought about dying. But it didn't last long. Just thought about it for a little while and then kind of left my mind. At 16 years old, my grandmother died that practically raised me. It had a strange effect on me. I remember the day of the funeral. After it was over, and I went to the back door of the house and opened the screen door up. Nobody knew I was there, could see me. And I remember thinking about her and about dying myself. And it brought a fear in my heart. I began to be afraid that I could die. And so I started trying to think about something else. My mind went other places, and pretty soon I forgot about dying, and after a while, it didn't bother me anymore. From the time I was 16 until I was 29, I lived a rebellious, hard life. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed. But I've done things that I'd never even dared to even think about today. All those years, I hardly ever thought about dying. At the age of 29, I was on the job one day working. Me and my first cousin, and we were talking about a friend of ours that was a very wicked fella. My cousin said if he dies, he's going to go to heaven. I said, no. No, he's not going to heaven. I said, he's just like me. He's going to hell. If he dies, I'm going to hell. If I die, that's where he's going. And my mind the rest of the day, I got thinking about dying again. Couldn't shake it this time. Kept thinking about dying. And I went to my mom's house on a Friday evening. She'd been saved about a year. And I tried to explain to her how I felt, and I wasn't satisfied with how I was living. And she said, "Son, I don't know what to tell you, but why don't you go to church with me Sunday?" And said, "They can help you. The preacher maybe can help you." So I remember thinking on Saturday night, I told my wife, I said, I think I'll go to church with Mom in the morning. She never thought much about it. I got up, went over to my mom's house a few miles from where I lived, and I got in the car with her, and we went to church. And the preacher got up to preach. And I sat down near on the back row, small church. And I remember him preaching out my life. In about 30 minutes, he preached out my whole life. And I was thinking, how does he know this about me? How does he know that I feel like this on the inside? How does he know that I've done all these things? And a great holy fear came in my heart. And not only was I afraid to die, but I knew why that I was going to hell. Through the preaching of that word of God that morning, the blessed Holy Ghost brought a holy fear to my heart, and I began thinking I deserve to go to hell for the things I've done. I've sinned against God. I've broken God's law. I've been a wicked, ungodly person, and I deserve to go to hell. We left the service that morning, and I just went to the car and sat down. My mom stayed in fellowship and talked to some of the ladies. Oh, I guess maybe 15, 20 minutes, she finally came out and got in the car, and we started home. She said, "How'd you like the service?" I said, "I guess it's all right, Mom." The next morning, my cousin come to get me to go to work. It's in the wintertime, it's the icy, little snow on the roads and highways. I live up in eastern Kentucky, about 50 miles east of Lexington. And we's driving to Frankfort every day to work, about 80 miles one way. And I remember getting in the work van that morning. When my eyes opened and I drank that first cup of coffee, that fear came back on me. That thought of death and hell got strong. And I remember thinking, if we have a wreck, the road's slick. And if we have a wreck, I'm going to get killed, I'm going to go to hell. Such fear. I never had that kind of fear before. I had knives drawn on me. I had guns laid in my forehead with the hammers cocked. But I never had a fear like I had that morning. I'm going to go to hell if he breaks. I'm headed for hell. And I heard it preached when I was young. What an awful place that it was. The Bible says it's a place here in the text that I read of torment. It's a place of misery and pain. It's a place of outer darkness. Jesus said, "Where smoke ascendeth up forever and ever, and where the fire is not quenched, and where the worm dieth not."
said it's a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said it's a place, in other words, of everlasting punishment. A place of frustration and anger, but yet no comfort and no ease and no way out. It's a prison. If you're not saved this morning, and you were to die without Jesus Christ, that's where you're going to go. And there's no way out. Always begging for relief. Always wanting water. It's a place of thirst, where that you thirst but cannot get water. It's an awful, awful place. And the thing about it this morning, it's real. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's a real place. It's not a fairy tale. It's a real place with real people there now, suffering. This same man is still there. He's still suffering. He's still wanting a drink of water. But he can't get any relief. If you die in your sins, Jesus said, where I am, ye cannot come. But God, has fixed it where you don't have to go there. He's made a way this morning that can keep you from going to this place called hell. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you've got to come to God's terms. He's fixed it, but there's a condition to be met. So well, I ain't done nothing much wrong. You don't have to do much wrong. You was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You's born the sinner. The reason you sin is because you're a sinner. It's not so much as to what you've done, but it's what you are that God's looking at. God sees men only in two ways, in Christ or in Adam. Say, well, I ain't done much. I don't deserve to go to hell. God's got you charged with the murder of Jesus Christ. I think that's a whole lot. It was your sins and my sins that put Him on the cross. It was your sins and my sins that caused Him to suffer like He had to suffer. And yet He set His face like a flint and went on to Calvary despising the shame and laid down His life willingly. No man took His life, but He laid down His life willingly that you and I could be saved and not have to go to that awful place called hell. In this world today, as Brother Ronnie preached last night, there's such a pull into this world system, a continual pull and a push, let me add. Pushing and pulling young boys and girls into this ungodly, wicked system that's controlled by Satan. There's so many things today that Satan has to offer that causes death to come. We got a drug problem today. Eastern Kentucky's worse than any place in the country. They get on the pills. Many of them doctor prescribed. They can't get enough of them. They start out with just a few pain pills to help with some pain they've got, but before you know it, they're taking more than they need. My nephew's a heroin addict. He started out on pain pills, had an accident. Pretty soon he couldn't get enough of them. Taking 70 and 80 at a time. Percocets, they call them. Pretty soon he went to heroin because he couldn't afford the pills. He's took everything. He's lost his job. In the last 2 years, he's on the street now. He took his mother's home. Now she's on the street. And he said last week, talked to him, I guess it was Friday, he said his only way to save his life was to get put in jail. He said, there's some bad heroin. He said, three of my friends have died this week. Where do you suppose they're at? Hell is where they're at. The devil don't care what means he uses, as long as he can keep you from thinking about dying and thinking about Christ. Keep you out of the church house where the word's preached. He doesn't care what he uses. When I was growing up, it's mostly alcohol. But alcohol now seems to be a minor thing compared to this drug problem. I had a doctor tell me about 3 weeks ago, or a month ago maybe, eye surgery. He's the president of the Doctors Association in that part of Kentucky. He said, preacher, we got a problem. He said, drugs is completely taking over our little mountain towns. And he said, now there's something bigger that's come in. And he said, I don't know how we're going to stop it. He said, because the policemen and the doctors and the lawyers and the judges are all involved in it. And he said the mafia is moving in. And they're even here now. And they're selling heroin real cheap, so that the addicts can take the heroin. And it not cost them much. But said it's not going to be cheap too long. The price is going up. And once they get on it, they can't hardly get off. It's the devil's tool that's taking people to hell. But I want to tell you something this morning. You don't have to be on heroin to die and go to hell. Just do what you want to do and don't do what God wants you to do. Somebody said, well, will you accept Him as your Savior? I'd like somebody to show me that in the Bible. It's not in there. When I got saved, it wasn't a thing of me accepting Him. It was the thing of me begging for Him to accept me. As many as received Him. When I received Him as Lord, He became my Savior immediately. But I didn't receive Him as Savior first. I said, Lord, I'll do anything that You want me to do. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll tell everybody. I don't care, Lord. Whatever it takes, I'll just do whatever that You want me to do, Lord. You know who He's saving me from? And what? It wasn't so much that He was saving me from going to hell, although that's in the package. But what He was really doing was saving me from me. I was over here and He is over here. That Holy Ghost conviction that made me to know I was guilty with complete evidence. That Holy Ghost conviction that brought condemnation to my heart. Brought shame. Brought guiltiness. And I could not bear it anymore. And it also brought such fear of going to hell. And I said, Lord, if You'll save me, I'll just do whatever You want me to do. And I remember in my heart, I'm making that step over here and got beside the Lord and turned and said, I'm against You from now. I'm going with Jesus. What peace. What peace came into my soul. There's a peace that I can't even explain. They came into my soul, engulfed my whole being. I felt as clean and as pure as a newborn baby. Well, I was one. I felt like that I could float up in the clouds. I've never had anything take place like that on the inside of me. And I said, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Boy, I wasn't afraid of dying anymore. I wasn't afraid of going to hell anymore. Such peace flooded my soul. Contentment in my mind thoughts changed. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to go to hell. But if I'd have died before that day, Brother Dale, I'd have been in hell. I'd have been in that awful place of frustration and anger, of misery and pain, of torments and punishment, with no way out. What a Savior. Boy, it's so plain in my heart that morning. I've told this, but I'm going to tell it again. After conviction troubled me for a week, I got under conviction that Sunday. That whole week I was in misery. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't work on my job. My first cousin was saying, "What's the matter with you?" I want to tell you the truth, I didn't really know. I said, "I don't know." We drank every day, and he said, "Open me up a beer." And you said, I said, "Oh." He said, "Get you a drink of liquor. You always like liquor." I said, "I don't want it no more." He said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I don't know, but I don't want that. I want to be the same. I'm just under conviction." I quit cussing. I quit gambling. I quit cheating. I quit lying. I quit everything that I know that it's doing wrong. I quit it. But when that Saturday come, before that Sunday, I felt worse than I did. After quitting all that, that fear was still there. That guilt and condemnation and shame was still there. I said, "Lord, I gotta get back up at that church tomorrow. I didn't know, nobody told me, Brother Ronnie, that I could have just got saved at the house. I didn't know. I thought I had to be in the church house. I thought that. I thought I gotta be in that church house." On Sunday morning I went back. And I moved up a little. Got about where Brother Townsend's is sitting. There's a different preacher there that week. I remember him preaching. I never heard a word he said. I can't remember one thing he said. All I was thinking is, I wish he'd hurry and get through. And give the invitation. I wish he'd hurry and give the invitation. And finally step from here down to here. And he said, I think he said, "I want it done like that." And I was crying. 29 years old, and I was crying. You could have heard me down the next block over there. And I got out of the pew, and I ran. I didn't walk. I ran. And I put my arms around him, because I said, "I won't be saved." He said, "Talk to the pastor." The old man of God's my great uncle. He's standing over here wide anyway up in years. He's standing along here. And I remember I just let go of that preacher. The house was full. And I just grabbed him around the neck and I said, "I won't be saved." And he said, "Get right down there and pray." Never said anything else. Yeah. Get right down there and pray and point it just like that. Never will forget him. And I remember as I was kneeling down, the thought run through my mind, "I don't know how to pray. Yeah. I've never prayed. I don't know how." But when I got down, I said, "God help me. God help me. God help me. God help me." I probably said it 50 times. God help me. Nobody came to the altar. Nobody touched me. Nobody read to me. Nobody didn't even leave their seat. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, there's someone swept on the inside of me and took away that guilt and condemnation and shame and took that all away. I raised from the altar, and my old great uncle said, "Has the Lord saved you?" I said, "I guess He has." What a day. What a glorious day that was. December the 1st, 1977. I'll never forget that day. I don't have to go to hell. I got up and I thought in my heart, "Boy, this feels so good. It's feeling pretty good right now." I don't have to go to hell no more. It's a real place. There's real people there. God has fixed it. And you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go. I thought that I'd surely go. I'd surely go to hell. But God, in His mercy, and by His grace, He reached right down, got hold of my heart. My own words convicted me. The words I spoke to my cousin as a sinner, "I'm a going to hell, and that's where he's a going." And God used my own words to get me to the house of God. And then He brought conviction through the preached word to my heart. You know what? I'm going to be through. Just want to say a couple more things. But I went back to that job on Monday after I got saved. Fellas that I worked with were wicked much. Cuss and tell dirty jokes. I remember going in, I took my lunch, you know, we took our lunch in the bag or a lunch box. I remember thinking, I can't sit there and listen today. And so I just got off. We was working in a dormitory at Frankfort, Kentucky State College. And turned down them rooms and so on. We sat in one little room, was eating. And I remember they started, and I just got up. I walked down that long hallway, and I found myself another little old room. And I went in there and sat down and started eating my dinner. And there's one old man on the job. And he is probably up in his 70s. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and he come in there where I say, at his lunch box. He said, "What happened to you, son?" I said, "I got saved. I don't have to go to hell no more." He said, "I'm a Christian too. Let's sit down here and eat together. And I want you to tell me about it." I'm just so glad I didn't have to go to hell. I'm still glad, but I don't have to go but to hell. She's all fixed up. Jesus took my place. It's an awful, awful, awful place. Please consider this thing. You're going to have to die. You cannot stay here. You're going to have to die. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. Please seek Him. If He should speak to your heart, please receive Him. Please don't turn Him away and go to that awful place. Please don't turn Him away. He might be dealing with some of you this morning. Please don't turn Him away. He's better than anything that this world can afford. There's nothing in this world that can compare to my Lord. He is so sweet and good. He is so kind and gentle and loving. Oh, He'll do for you what nobody else can do. He'll stay with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. Oh, this morning, what a Savior this morning that we have. Please come. Christian folk, I want to pray. Give me everybody on the answers.